Charlie Means, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I am absolutely very impressed with your latest interview with Tucker Carlson. You recently appeared, all of the internet saw your interview. Your conversations even, or the points at least that you raised, have even made it into the presidential discussion, which is vital for our times. I really do want to highlight what came out of that interview, which has got the world's attention, how pharma subverts the news. But let's start with the dangers of Ozempic and your passion, which is really highlighting the root cause of illness in today's society.
Yeah, so what I bring to this as a former pharma consultant is witnessing the rigging of the institution of trust. So what public relations offices and lobbying offices in DC are doing are choosing professors to fund. So pharma is the biggest funder of research. And in the case of Ozempic, there's been an all-out assault to say this drug is safe. And it's been actually approved, believe it or not, for children. This is a lifetime drug. And it's been approved for children and endorsed by the American Academy of Pediatrics based on a 68-week study that didn't even take into account important things like muscle mass. It was a totally rigged study. So they fund the research, then they fund the media. As we've talked about, pharma is 60% of mainstream news funding on TV. And 60 Minutes and the CNN and the New York Times all run pieces saying Ozempic is safe using that research, actually saying you're anti-science if you have any questions about Ozempic. Then they fund the actual medical groups, the American Academy of Pediatrics, who say that we need to give this to kids. They fund the NAACP to say it's racist to go against the science. So you can see it's just very simple. It's directing money to every single institution that we trust. And the argument here is that the chronic disease treadmill that we've been on as a country, where every drug we prescribe, the chronic disease that drug is trying to treat goes up, it's been bankrupting the country, literally. We're saying we just need more of that. That's what we're being led to believe.
Well, I think it's fascinating because we're seeing the same tactics, in my opinion, deployed during COVID, which is if you have any questions, you're anti-science, you're racist, you're this, you're that. And so it seems to be a model that they saw work during COVID. They're trying to re-employ that model, I suppose.
Yeah, I think a big strategy here is using these institutions of trust to have Americans take leave of their common sense. You know, obviously, on its face, a miracle drug that's going to solve the obesity crisis, when obesity is clearly not the issue of itself, but one sign of underlying metabolic dysfunction that's causing the diabetes explosion, that's causing the explosion of cancer rates, that's causing the explosion of autoimmune conditions. All these things are going up all at once. It's not because we're deficient in Ozempic, right? That's not the root cause, but it's about money. This is the largest and fastest growing industry in the country. We still, I think, mistakenly in the United States have this fetish for elite academic institutions and believe what they say, even though they're totally conflicted. And the executives at pharma, having worked with them, know how to play this game, right? They know how to pay off the groups, you know, that will call somebody a racist if you disagree with the research that they've funded. You know, the result I keep going to is we're the only animals that have systematic obesity, humans and animals we've domesticated. There's not an obesity epidemic or a diabetes epidemic in the wild among wolves or giraffes, right? It's only the animals that are listening to these experts that are reading this rigged research that have chronic diseases, because chronic diseases are beautiful for the medical system. And we all have to understand this. They're beautiful for the medical system because you don't die right away and you keep getting more chronic diseases and you keep needing to treat them for life. It's recurring revenue. This is like you couldn't have made a better business model in a lab for the healthcare industry. That's why they're creating research to profit on more and more treatments for the rising rates of chronic disease and have no interest in why we're actually getting these diseases in the first place. In the case of obesity, obviously it's food. And we literally have doctors from Harvard, Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford, the lead obesity researcher at Harvard. She said on 60 Minutes, obesity is not tied to what we eat and it's not tied to willpower. It's a genetic condition. You cannot make this up.
Unbelievable. And I heard you speaking about something which really piqued my interest. You were talking about the silos and how doctors are essentially trained to only look at this much. And I think that most people would, who suffer from any chronic conditions, would really feel the pain of that. They go and see one specialist, they have to go to another for another issue, and really all of them are interconnected. So talk to us about that interconnection.
So my sister was the pride of the family. She was top of her class staff for med school and a head and neck surgeon. And 10 years into training, she was doing a sinusitis surgery, cutting out a woman's inflammation in her sinuses. She was so sick that she had to, her face had to be cut open to take out the signs of inflammation. And Casey looked at that patient's charts, and the patient had 8 other comorbidities, had seen 8 other doctors, had been on 8 other treatment plans, diabetes, depression, heart disease, high blood pressure, et cetera. And for the first time in over 10 years of training, she asked, what could the connection be? She realized that in 10 years at Stanford Medical School and surgical residency, she was not asked or trained once to ask whether diabetes could be related to inflammation, to ask whether that inflammation could be related to the heart disease, to even ask the mental health connections. That's treated as totally separate. She realized that at Stanford Medical School, she wasn't offered one nutrition class, and that 90% of doctors in the United States graduate without taking a nutrition class, and that 80% of medical school education is around pharmacology, right? And she put this piece together. But the siloing of health, the fact that at graduation, doctors choose between one of 42 specialties, that Casey was responsible for a couple millimeters of the face. And if she had a fellowship, she would have focused even more. That's how you rise up in medicine, by siloing. But I want to say this very clearly. If you look at the causes of death in America, there are chronic conditions that are foodborne illnesses, heart disease, diabetes, kidney disease, respiratory illness, even COVID, which only killed metabolically unhealthy people, right? If you were practicing good lifestyle habits, had an almost 0% chance of dying of COVID. This is being obfuscated. It's being hidden. Casey was reprimanded for talking about dietary interventions in the hospital. It's very simple, right? And I don't think even many people realize this, but the invisible hand of this corrupt system is profiting from people being sick and absolutely training doctors and incentivizing them not to ask why so many sick patients are walking to their hospital, but asking how can we profit on managing, not curing their conditions. This is the issue of our time. RFK is speaking very eloquently about it. And I have to give credit to President Trump, who's actually making some strong statements on this as well.
Yeah, I have to agree. We're certainly seeing this now where, you know, a lot of people have had negative outcomes from the COVID injections, for example, and doctors are flat out denying that that could possibly be the cause, not even investigating. I mean, just a common sense approach would be, okay, you were in perfect health 3 years ago. What's changed? What have you introduced into your life? Have you changed your diet? I mean, these are questions doctors used to ask. Have you changed your diet? You know, have we introduced a new medication? Do you think that this training of doctors has actually, that you're describing at prestigious universities, mm-hmm. has actually caused a dumbing down of the doctor population as well?
Oh, yes. Doctors have the highest rate of burnout and suicide of any profession in the country. It's actually a tragic situation. There's easier ways to make money. And the U.S. healthcare system is a magnet for some of the best and brightest in the world who get in the system to do the right thing. But the New York Times recently ran an article, and the mental health epidemic in mass among doctors, they liken to soldiers who are then forced to commit war crimes. The medical profession is soldiers who got into the fight for the right reasons, but realize they're actually in a system that is doing evil. And that is universally seen either consciously or subconsciously by doctors. And they feel trapped because our system, very smartly from the system's perspective, straps them with a lot of debt and the expectations of society and all the titles of these prestigious positions to have them go on the system. But any doctor that does not feel trapped in a broken system and trapped in a system that fundamentally isn't making patients better is either in denial or just not thinking. I think most doctors do know that.
Wow, that's very powerful. I recall speaking to a lot of doctors during the COVID era who were saying, you know, we're not giving patients, you know, we're not giving people preventative advice. We've abandoned medicine, essentially. And what I'm seeing, right, particularly from, and I guess this is to one of my earlier points, there's been a continuation of that post-COVID, even in the case of Ozempic, where it's like the industry has moved away from any type of investigation, and it's just pushing drugs, and there's no holds barred anymore, it seems, Callie.
This is a key point I want to make, because I think the system and my sister is really trained that food and lifestyle is in this niche preventative bucket. Actually, these basic lifestyle interventions, which we could incentivize, are the best reversal techniques. So if you go back to COVID, COVID was the biggest public policy mistake in our lifetime since World War II. I mean, this is a societally defining mistake that will have ramifications for the next generation. And actually, from a pure, not even preventative, but reversal, and once you got COVID, managing the COVID, Dr. Fauci could have talked about how this is, our immune systems are weak, about how we're dying of COVID at a much higher rate than Japan and other European countries. That we could really fortify our immune systems, and you can change around your metabolic health very quickly in a couple months, right? And that's actually a way to reverse diabetes, heart disease, other things like that. It's the best way to reverse. So the fact that we have an all-out assault from the media, government officials on pharmaceutical interventions, and not a national effort to improve our metabolic health and incentivize that. We spend $4.5 trillion in healthcare, right? That's growing faster than any other industry. The largest and fastest growing industry in the country, producing worse outcomes for every dollar spent, right? It would be disruptive to that growth, but very powerful from a medical perspective. If we ask from a public policy perspective, how can we get Americans healthier, right? You look at the pictures of people 60 years ago, they were all thin, they were all healthy, the metabolic health crisis wasn't there. We didn't become lazier in the past two generations. We've been poisoned. And the public policy response to that, and it's conservative, I'm a libertarian, we've rigged the market, we need to unrig the market. And there's very simple ways we can do that. RFK is talking about that, President Trump is talking about it. Not just as this niche preventative, but actually for the reversal of the chronic diseases that are destroying our country, particularly kids.
There's a key element, I guess, to unrigging that market, which also involves people being informed and not willing to really participate in this system. Part of that is the awareness that you're raising. But do you think that post the COVID era, people are a lot more willing to take that personal accountability, take responsibility for their health? Have you seen that shift?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, it's evidenced by the viewers viewing right now. What I think my theory of change is that we're actually seeing a bottoms-up revolution now. I do think eventually we need to change top-down, because you've got $4.7 trillion of the healthcare industry, 4.5 to 4.7, no matter, depending on how you look at it, really incentivizing Americans to be sick. That's really hard to compete with. And then we have a poisoned food supply based on crony capitalism. So my goal eventually is to change top-down. That's happening from the bottoms up. The best book selling books in the country are talking about metabolic health and taking matters into their own hand. Many Americans are now taking their health data in their own hands with bio-wearables, which I think are very important, which is actually giving Americans data inside their own bodies, which you wouldn't believe this, but those are being fought by the medical system. There's actually a denigration of continuous glucose monitors or other body monitors by the medical system, saying, no, we need that data. You don't need to see what's going on inside your body. They're actually trying to legislate it in some ways. It's actually extraordinary. Wow. The medical system doesn't want us to have data, but we're getting it. The books, the podcasts, the social media, you know, you go from Joe Rogan on down, you know, whether it's a mixed martial artist, commentator / comedian, or a doctor, or what have you, everyone in this country on their podcast that are most listened to are talking about metabolic health. I found it so interesting during COVID with leaked emails with Dr. Fauci, the head of the NIH, saying Joe Rogan was one of the most dangerous people in America, and listen to his podcast, he's talking about exercising and eating healthy and being a good person and having good metabolic health. That is actually a disruptive message.
Yes. And I guess the other key thing is that really you highlighted how the pharmaceuticals are really subverting the news, or even right. own the news, but they're subverting or impacting public opinion based on their impact on the news. So I certainly see a shift, and I want to get your perspective, where people aren't really watching the news all that much anymore. They're not really watching mainstream programs all that much anymore. So do you feel that influence has gone down, or is it still very much a very healthy machine?
It's a fight. The independent media revolution is, I think, a historically disruptive force, you know, on the plane of Benjamin Franklin, you know, early on printing stuff about the American Revolution. I mean, I really think we have a massive shift in how media is happening and how people are getting information. We're cutting out the middleman, and there is a violent opposition to that from the status quo. So I think it is waning, but I think this point is important about pharma. When more than 50% of your bills are paid by one industry, you are going to explicitly censor yourself, and you're going to self-censor yourself. Tucker's talked about this at the dynamics at Fox, and any journalist will tell you, Arv Case talked a lot about it. That's the key thing, helping to direct marketing dollars from pharma to the news agencies. It wasn't to influence consumers. It wasn't to have you watch that goofy ad and buy that drug. They know you're going to probably get that drug and be pushed that drug. The fact that pharma spends so much on news advertising buys the news itself. So that's why you have this disconnect where the most popular independent media, you know, from Russell Brand to Joe Rogan to Barry Weiss, they're digging deep into the corruption of our healthcare system. This is the most important issue. The fact that we're getting sicker, more depressed, more infertile, and our children are suffering. This is the most important issue to Americans. And it's the number one topic discussed on independent media based on my analysis.
Yeah.
No curiosity on the mainstream news about why 33% of young adults have prediabetes, about why 25% of teens have fatty liver disease, about why 40% of high schoolers, you know, have a mental health disorder and 15% are on a methamphetamine Adderall. There's nothing. There's no analysis. I didn't see any skeptical analysis of the pharmaceutical solution. These solutions for various chronic conditions, these folks are cheerleaders for Ozempic. They're not getting to the root cause of why 80% of Americans are overweight or obese, which is clearly something very, very wrong is happening. That's worthy of real investigatory insight. So that's what the money buys you. I still think that is very important and is what most people go by. Most people still trust these systems and relatively, you know, are influenced by what they see on the mainstream media. So we've got to keep attacking that.
Absolutely agree with you. Another point I might highlight is the amount of funding from Big Pharma that goes to the World Health Organization, who's trying to push through this two courses of action, the International Health Regulation Amendments and the Pandemic Treaty or Accord or whatever it is that you that they keep changing the name, CA+. Either way, this is very, very dangerous because what they're trying to do is really own world health. And when you have these same pharmaceuticals who are essentially brainwashing the public through the media and governments that aren't interested in finding out why there are so many excess deaths around the world. They've actually, in Australia, they voted against finding out why so many Australians are dying. It's unbelievable. And so, you know, this pharma complex really has to come down. So we're very grateful for your contribution to that, Kelly. I want to bring up your book, Good Energy. People can find it on Amazon, The Surprising Connection Between Metabolism and Limitless Health, coming out in May. Where can people follow your work, Kelly?
Yeah, Twitter, X, at Kelly Means. My company's TrueMed.com, where we're actually writing medical notes for food and exercise interventions and driving tax-free dollars to those root cause solutions, which I think is vital. We've got to change incentives. And then Good Energy, as I talked about, super inspired by my sister who left the system and is speaking out. We wrote this book after the death of our mother from a preventable condition. And it's a systemic overview and bottoms up solutions. As you said, this revolution is happening from people taking health in their own hands. And through my sister's genius, this is the best compendium of metabolic health tips to feel better today, I think, ever put to paper. And we're really excited about this book.
Well, we're very grateful for you, Kelly, not only for your time, but also for your bravery. We appreciate you and hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
And now a message from our sponsor, The Wellness Company. Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where The Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even to a bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have the emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe. Go to twc.health/blackout today and order. That's twc.health/blackout and use the promo code blackout to save 10%.